Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and scholars. I am Atan, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding Shiite dignitaries of the 6th century Hijra, al-Faqih al-Mutakallim, Hamzat ibn Ali ibn Zuhre Husayni Halabi, mainly known as Ibn Zuhre, the author of the book Al-Ghuniyya. He is mainly known as Sahib Al-Ghuniyya too, or the author of Ghuniyya. Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you this time. Give us some information about the early life and background of Ibn Zuhre.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Ibn Zuhre was one of the outstanding scholars, as you mentioned, and he was a faqih, he was a mutakallim, a theologian, and obviously he had the good command over the Arabic grammar as well. And on top of that, obviously, he, with the 12, we can say, you know, with the 12 connections or the relations, his ancestors, yes, is Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was from the Sadat as well and one of the greatest scholars. He is known as one of the criticizers in the history who criticized the Sheikh Tusi's ideologies, method, like, yes, in the methods in the fiqh and usul. So this is about him. And on top of that, obviously, he had the great students. Obviously, Shahzan ibn Jibreel Qumi is one of them. Okay. Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Mashhadi, Ibn Idris Hilli, these are the great scholars who were known as the students of Ibn Zuhre.
Right.
And obviously, since he was one of the greatest scholars, his one of the main books which we can talk about is Ghuniyatun Nuzul ila Ilm al-Usul wa al-Furu'.
We'll talk about Ghuniyatun Nuzul ila Ilm al-Usul wa al-Furu'. But Sheikh Rouhani, what innovation did Ibn Zuhre had regarding the field of fiqh and usul?
Yes, obviously, the scholars, the fuqaha and the jurists are always in need of reviving the ideas and the theories or fatawa or ahkam of the scholars. Because, you know, when you live in a different era, in a different time, in a different, let's say, environment, of course, you are in need of providing the people with new kind of issues, with new kind of fatawa and ahkam.
Yes.
So that's why Ibn Zuhre, like many other scholars at his time, he felt that he is in need of a kind of examining and assessing the other viewpoints of the ulama and the scholars, like Sheikh Tusi and like the other teachers and professors of him. So that's why, of course, he finally brought some new kind of ideas. Yes. This is what we call ijtihad and tashayyu. Ijtihad always actually helps our religion, helps the tashayyu to be dynamic.
Yes.
Because it gives the possibility of the religion to update itself, to actually revive itself. That is why I think when we go back to the history and see the works of these great scholars of Shia, we see that how important was the role of, for example, ijtihad in the history and into the development of Shia jurisprudence and Shia fiqh and usul.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why I think Ibn Zuhre is also one of the great scholars.
Yes.
That should be taken into consideration in this regard.
And that's why he compiled the book Ghuniyatun Nuzul ila Ilm al-Usul wal-Furu'. Up to this day, it is believed that it is one of the most referred to, we can say, for fuqaha of all the time. But, also, he compared the fiqhi looks of the Shias with Ahl Sunnah in this book too, isn't it?
Obviously, this book is known as a book which has the fiqhi, kalami, theological aspects and the usuli aspect in the Arabic language. Now, in this book, he tried to bring the proofs and reasons, and on top of that, argued with the viewpoints of Ahl Sunnah through the ahadith and the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can say, like, in this book, we can see, like, he brought almost 250 verses and 250 ahadiths from the Prophet, and more than 600 ijma. You know, ijma is where the ulama or the rules about which all the ulama in the history they have, you know, they were
the consensus
were the same. So they had the consensus and it was the same. So
is it accepted only by the Shias, ijma, the method?
Both.
No, the Sunni brethren believe in ijma too?
They do believe in ijma, but the method of ijma is different. In the Shia school of thought, we believe that the imams presence is there, or maybe a representative of imam is present in the ijma or amongst the list of the ulama that we have. Whereas in the Sunni school of thought, they say, like, in a time when a couple of ulama, if they gather together and they you know, they have consensus on one issue, then it is known as ijma. So there's a difference of basically the definition and the term of ijma that we use. But obviously he has brought more than 600 consensus, where he proved that, you know, the way the ahkam or the rules which are described by the Ahl Sunnah is different from the Shia. So this was one of the things about him. And obviously, this book is known as the famous book which has the fiqhi aspect in it. On top of that, when he's arguing with the Ahl Sunnah, it is known as the theological book as well. Obviously, in theology, we are defending our own school, our ideology, and we are basically bringing arguments.
Is this called ihtijaj? Is it this?
Yes, ihtijaj with Ahl Sunnah.
Means what? Ihtijaj exactly means what?
Protest.
Protest,
Protest.
Okay.
For example, there is a ruling that in Ahl Sunnah, they close their hands while praying. We open our hands. There is a protest that we open. And we bring the arguments. So he brought the arguments, for example, like in the method of wudu, the method, not the wudu itself. So there are some certain things. So because
he had mastery over ahkam of Ahl Sunnah, he could, this is good.
And that's why his student as well, you know, Ibn Idris also had this thing in his books as well. So we can see the effect of his teachings even on his students as well, the way it was, you know, they were raised or they were trained by such a teacher.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
That's all right. In the title, we have ila ilm al-usul wal-furu' Sheikh Rouhani. What is this usul and furu? Explain a little bit about this for us.
You know, whatever Islami hukm that a faqih or a jurist issue or assert, it should be based on certain principles.
Okay.
You know, and those principles are mostly rational principles.
Yes.
That's why usuliyun actually rationalized the teachings, the jurisprudential teachings of the shayu. So this basis or these fundamentals must be very much solid, and we can say concrete in terms of being rational, being, let's say, logical. And of course, they should be supported, they should be confirmed by ayat and ruwayat, they should not be opposed to them.
Sure.
And then, of course, based on this usul, they, for example, issue their fatawas. And ahkams should be based on this usul.
Okay.
That is why usul, al-ilm al-usul, paved the ground for ijtihad. This is usul that helps a scholar to practice ijtihad. Ijtihad is mostly by usuliyun.
That's right.
Yeah, because akhbariyun or the traditionists, they only refer to ahadith.
Okay.
They say that whatever we translate hadith, that is okay, that is true. They do not consider any other, for example, aspects or dimensions of the issues. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the Usuliyun, yeah, they try to consider different issues, affairs, things regarding a hukum, which should be based on usul or, let's say, fundamentals or principles. So when it comes to usul, we have two kind of usuls in our, let's say, Islamic or Shiite kind of doctrines and teachings. Mm-hmm. Some of the usuls, when we look at the two, when we look at jurisprudence,
okay.
In jurisprudence, we have certain usuls, which is called usul al-fiqh.
Mm-hmm.
And then ahkam and the furu' in usul al-fiqh, in fiqh and jurisprudence should be based on those certain usuls.
Okay.
Whereas we have usul ulama and akhbari ulama.
Uh-huh.
This is one type of usuls that we have.
Okay.
And the other, sometimes when we say usul, it goes to usul al-din. Usul al-din is a kind of theological issue,
okay,
in which we just discuss about the main principal beliefs of Islam, like tawheed, oneness of God, justice, mm-hmm, of God, prophethood or imamate,
okay,
or divine justice, let's say day of judgment. To prove the truthfulness of these beliefs, that is called Allah Usul al-Din.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes we talk about Usul, Usul, mm-hmm, goes sometimes to Usul al-Din,
mm-hmm,
but from jurisprudential perspective, it goes to Usul al-Fiqh.
Okay, that's right. Thank you very much. And in comparison to Sheikh Tusi, this is called Fiqh Istidlali, isn't it? Argumentative jurisprudence.
Yes.
So what is the main difference between Sheikh Tusi and this one? I mean, there was no place of argumentation in the fiqh of Sheikh Tusi.
When we look at the Sheikh Tusi's fiqh, we see the books, they were written like, you know, the Islamic rulings that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Tawzi'u al-Masail, okay, the way it is a book, it just explains about the, mm-hmm, you know, taharat. And on top of that, the difference was like the difference between the Tawzi'u al-Masail that we have and the Sheikh Tusi was there. They were the narrations,
okay,
from the Ahlul Bayt.
So like, based why on mere narrations, okay,
these are the things. But you have to follow what he has said.
Okay.
For example, Al-Urwat al-Wuthqa of Imam Khomeini is the same. It's on the same pattern almost. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the Fiqh Istidlali, the major talk is about arguing why to have this tahara, for example. Why to open my both hands while, mm-hmm, praying in the prayers? Where does it come from? If it was in the narrations, were there anything against it? Or, for example, there is an argument like why they close their hands.
Yes.
Was it allowed by the Aima? Uh-huh. So istidlal is kind of reasoning. You bring
reasoning.
Reason for this specific, you know, ruling. And you prove through reasons, either through the reasons of the narrations or the verses. And if there is no narration or verses, you take the help of ilm al-usul, the principles of jurisprudence, where there is, you know, other rules that we have, the intellectual rules, we can say, principles.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. Again, it is believed that Ibn Zuhra passed away in the year 585 in the month of Rajab at the age of 74. In the city of Halab, and he was buried again on the mountain of Joshan, which is a burial place, a holy burial place over there. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, the author of Qunyatun Nudhu ala Ilm al-Usul wal-Furu', mainly known as Al-Qunya, compiled by Ibn Zuhra. It was very kind of you, and thank you very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, introducing another Shiite dignitary. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
A teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him? Ya Mu'allim, peace be upon you, truly you are our teacher. Mu'allim.